Praise.
Yes.
Amen. We're just going to be talking this morning, not about turkeys and hams and all of that stuff. Amen. You can do that on your own time.
Amen.
Amen. I know it's going to be good. And I don't want to blow your bubble or burst your bubble with what we're talking about this morning, but it's going to help you for Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Amen. Amen. And the new year.
And the new year. We're talking this morning about, Claudia, spiritual maturity. Growing up in Christ, that's been the theme for the whole time.
Yes.
But this morning in particular, we're talking about possessing self-control.
Ooh.
I didn't think too many people would say amen.
Amen.
I'm going to say it again, Mike. We're talking about possessing self-control.
Amen.
Possessing self-control. Amen. Somebody said, man, I just made up my mind. I'm going to eat everything I want to for Thanksgiving.
I'm going to buy everything I want to buy for Christmas.
I'm gonna get everything I think I didn't get last year, amen.
And we just put brakes on that thought. Hallelujah.
Look at somebody and tell them we're going to be possessing.
We're going to be possessing.
Self-control.
Self-control.
Another word is using self-control, utilizing self-control.
Amen.
Pastor Vicky, when we mention the term self-control, lots of times it brings many different things or many different images into the minds of the people when you're talking about. Most of the time you think about a particular circumstance, or you think about something that you have gone through or that you've gotten over when we talk about self-control. Lots of times when we deal with self-control, you go back to look at sometimes negative situations. You look at bad habits.
Yes.
We begin to look at habits, amen. We begin to look at habits that can range from having a poor diet where I'm overeating or I'm undereating. We look at our poor diets. Or we can have a tendency to talk about, man, I'm overeating and I want to cut back on what it is, the fast food and all of these different things. And so we said, man, I need to use more self-control. But then sometimes it's more severe cases where you say, man, I'm addicted to this substance or I'm addicted to this alcohol. I need to gain self-control of my drink. Drinking or my doing these drugs. I need self-control over my body. I'm in these sexual sins. Yes. I'm into pornography and I'm into all of these other things. And God, I need more self-control. You see, you begin to look at those things, and some people look at it, and another group will say, I need to learn how to control my temper.
That's right.
I have this explosive temper, or I work for somebody that's got a bad temper. Lord, help them to manage their temper or get themselves under control. Look at somebody and say, self-control.
Self-control.
Not only is it self-control in dealing with others, but some have come out of bad marriages where you had an abusive spouse and that spouse couldn't control their hands or their mouth, and it could have been verbal or physical or aggressive behavior tendencies, and they didn't have the control or the individual control of themselves, and so they would tend to strike or strike out. Anybody ever struck out at anything? Don't sit here and get righteous on me all of a sudden, amen.
Yes.
How many of you know you still need self-control?
We need self-control.
We need self-control,
especially
amen.
This time of the year.
It can be self-control in the area of laziness.
Yes.
I need to be doing more. I should have accomplished more. I ought to be more aggressive in the things that I'm going after with my vision, but I'm lazy or I'm slothful, I'm sitting down, and so I need more self-control to do better with my time management.
Yes.
But then there's the other one that's the workaholic. I spend so much of my time doing everything else that I have not made time for what's the real important things in my life. And so now it can go from the lazy, slothful person to the overly aggressive workaholic. Amen.
Right.
Self-control
Amen.
Does not discriminate based on race, religion, creed, or color.
That's right.
Amen. If you are living, you are a candidate for self-control.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You're a candidate for self-control. What am I saying? Self-control is an important aspect of maturity.
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
Self-control is an important aspect of maturity. One of the basic characteristics of a baby, one of the basic characteristics we talk about growing up, one of the basic characteristics of a baby is the lack of self-control, so you have to put a diaper on
That's
them.
Right.
Look at somebody and say, ah, You have to put a diaper on them until they learn to manage or learn to control, amen, their urinary function or their bowel functions. You have to put a diaper on them to control that. You don't put a baby down and just walk away. You have to carry a baby because they don't have the motor skills or the self-control, amen, to sit upright, or not to mention to run, to walk, or to climb on things. And so when we're in our baby state of mind, we need people to wrap us in diapers and to put us on their shoulders and walk us around. But I declare to this house called Living Waters that we're no longer dealing with babies, but we're dealing with grown-up, spiritually mature people. And amen, you don't need nobody to burp you, to hold you on their shoulders, because you got what we call self-control.
Come on, get excited about that. Come on, give God a praise
for self-control. You're no longer infants.
Decree it over our lives.
Amen. In the things of God, 2 Peter 1:5-8 says, for this reason,
that's right,
make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. Somebody say self-control.
Self-control.
Self-control. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 24, dealing with the fruit of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and the last one, and self-control. Self-control, Elder Ray, I believe it's the last one, because I believe it's the glue. I believe, amen, it's the bookend that holds everything else together. If you got love but ain't got self-control, you can still be abusive.
Yes.
You can have perverted love where you're dominating the person that you're supposed to be loving, but self-control puts your love in check.
Yes.
Amen, amen. He says, but it's self-control. Against such things, there is no law. There's no restriction. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires.
Amen.
Lastly, Pastor Vicky, we have Proverbs 25 and 28. Listen at this. Listen at this, Carlos. It says, a man without self-control is like a city broken in two and left without walls.
Yes.
Man, when you don't have self-control, you don't have the boundaries or the parameters, amen, to keep yourself in check. And another way of saying that, a man without self-control is like a dam with a breach.
Yes.
What you have been holding back, you will let out, and it will become destructive, amen, to everything in its path. Look at somebody and say, we need self-control.
We need self-control.
Amen.
What I like about obeying the Galatians text on the 5:22, when it says, against such there is no law, we can have as much self-control as we want. We can't say, oh, no, I have self-control in this arena, and if I get self-control in this arena, it'll be too much, honey. We can maintain self-control, some might say, in every arena our life. And sometimes I think we get caught up in thinking, oh, I'm doing good in this area. But in the other area, we see that we're out of control because you always have to look at the opposite of what it is we're teaching. Come on. If we're teaching on self-control, and if we don't have it in an arena, come on, tell the truth, shame the devil, that means in that arena, we're operating out of control. Mm-hmm. Come on. Come on. That's how you identify the enemy. Amen.
That's right.
And so let's define self-control. So jot this down. Self-control is the physical and emotional self-mastery. Come
on.
You can't master yourself. Amen. Particularly in areas of intense temptation. Just think about what tempts you and see if you end up tapping into that area of temptation more than you tap out of it. If you're in it more than you're out of it, you're out of control. We're out of control. But if we're out of it more than we're in it, we have self-control. Tell the truth. You have to identify the area of temptation in your life in order to allow this teaching to benefit you. Self-control is the mark of a wise person. So if you don't have self-control, if we don't have self-control, what's the opposite of wise? Being a fool, right?
Stupid.
And we ain't no fools up in here, right? So temptation is a mark of a wise man, but also jot this down. It means to discipline or control yourself, amen? Uh-huh. So when we look at self-control,
hold on.
Go ahead.
To discipline or control who?
Yourself. But we try to discipline and control everybody else around us. And if you think about it, we get so mad and frustrated because a lot of our energy is exerted on trying to discipline and control somebody that we can't discipline and control. But the only person we can discipline and control and become a master of, Elder Gale, is
Put
me.
It on you. on me.
So we need to, come on, flip the script and take our eyes off everybody else, which is what we oftentimes do on the job. Is everybody else's fault except mine? At the house, is everybody else's fault that the house is dirty except mine? In the church, is everybody else's fault that this and that isn't happening except mine? So self-control, mastery over, somebody shout, myself.
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 The old saints used to say, sweep around your own front
before
door.
You try to sweep around somebody else. Right. Look, self-control, having, this is what, and this is the good side of self-control. Uh-huh. Having great force or power on the inside, but operating under control on the outside.
Wow.
Think about it. We can literally do anything that we put our mind to. That's how powerful of a being we are. That's how powerful we are. But we don't have to do everything on the outside that we have power on the inside to do. Just because I got power on the inside of me to go in and rob that bank and get $1 million out, I can strategize and plot and scheme. I can get in there and I might get the money in my hand. I might not make it out. But I got so much power on the inside of me that I can go in and do this if I want to. But self-control says just because I have the power to do a thing, if it's not wise and it's foolish, operating out of control, then I'm going to control myself and what? Attain my millions the right way. Because I got power if I control myself to establish what I need the good way, just like I could if I operated out of control and did it the foolish way. Somebody say, I'm wise.
Wise.
Because I have self-control. Huh. So it's just like a vehicle, as an example, you know, as powerful as that V8 engine is, and it's powerful enough, if we just put our pedal to the metal, we can go up to 180, 190. We can do that with it, can't we, with a V8?
Been there, Raj.
But just think about it. We have the power to do that. All we got to do is put our pedal to the metal, and we out. But in city limits, we have to exhibit self-control, don't we? That's just a practical example. So we have to control ourselves, but watch what all is affected when we control ourselves. When we control ourselves, now we control the car. Yeah. Just because we control ourselves and don't put the pedal to the metal, now we control the car. By controlling the car, we control the environment around us. And we create what? A safe and well-controlled space around us. But when we're out of control, look at all that we in danger. We think operating out of self-control, come on, or out of control just endangers us. When I make the decision to put the pedal to the metal in city limits where there are children playing, I not only can wreck and damage the car going that fast, because how are you going to stop at a light going 180? But then I also endanger the children and the men and the women in the environment around me. So operating out of self-control has major consequences. So how many of us really want to do better? Because our lack of self-control is not just endangering and impacting us. It's impacting all of those around us. Come on.
Amen.
Tell the truth.
Amen. When you look at, let's say, something as simple as a school bus, the school bus has a speed on the odometer that it can do, but the school system does not fully trust the driver, even though they employ the driver, and so they put something on the bus called a governor. They put a speed-limiting governor on the bus so that that driver can only go a certain speed regardless of how hard they press that pedal.
That's good. That's
there's something that God put in us.
Come on.
He gave us a governor called the Holy Ghost.
Come on.
That regardless of how out of control we want to be, if you ever realize and push that button,
the Holy Ghost the will Holy go like Ghost, this. Hey, you
he's
went too
tapping
far.
You and telling
you. Went too
you.
Far.
He's talking to us at all times. Let me talk to the real people. You ever been in a sin and the Holy Ghost come in the middle of that sin?
Right in the middle. And said, you about to go too far. Somebody say, thank you, Holy Ghost.
You ever been
Hallelujah.
In that place and the Holy Ghost walk in there and he blow your high?
All out of goodies.
Can the real people give the Holy Ghost a praise?
Yes,
because he saved
yes,
your crazy self.
Yes.
He kept you from doing more than you were capable of doing.
Yes.
He was a governor.
Yes. I love it. So we're going to hit on the four M's, the governor of our mind. Yeah. Jot that down. Money, mood.
What else?
My money, mood.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to do it based on memory, y'all.
Uh-huh.
I got it. My money, mood. Give it to me, babe.
I don't know. Mouth, baby.
Mouth, that's it. You know, that's the hardest one
she
to remember.
She left me out there last week.
That's
I said,
the hardest
I'm gonna get
one to
back.
Remember right there. I forgot that one on purpose.
Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. When you write this thing down, the Holy Ghost, he controls all facets of our life, every M that she just named. And there's a fifth one that we have we may not get to, but and gaining mastery over your mortal body. Gaining mastery over your flesh, which is probably the most important of all of these, and we have it there at the end that we may get to. But when we talk about self-control, another word for self-control is self-power. You need to write that down. Another word for self-control is self-power. Mm-hmm. And self-control makes up one of the five parts of your being. One of the five parts of your being. We often deal with self-esteem, but self-esteem is just one side of who you are. You understand, you deal with self-valuation. How do you value yourself? Because that's going to deal with how you value others. You're not killing people if you value your own life. How do you evaluate people? You're not judging people when you properly evaluate yourself. Self-evaluation. You got to understand that identity, self-identity. When you know who you are, you allow other people to be who they are.
Yeah.
And so self-identity, you understand, you deal with this power of self. And so self-control is a part of one of the five aspects of you. And when you deal with self-decision, it deals with what decisions. You got to write this. It deals with what decisions you can actually make and implement about your own life.
Yes.
What decisions you can actually make and implement about your own life and future, and how you control your environment or surroundings.
Yes.
You understand, nothing can happen to you without your permission. Nothing can happen to you without your permission, and you don't do anything without giving yourself permission. You lose
That's
your
true.
Attitude and go off on somebody and then come back and say, that wasn't me. Then who got in you? Who you done let somebody come in that wasn't supposed to be in, and the only way somebody get in you without your permission is illegal access and unlawful entry.
Right.
So now look at this. Look at somebody and ask them, do you possess self-control?
Do you possess self-control?
That's the question for thought. That's the question I want you to walk out of here and take home with you. Do you possess self-control? Another word is, do you possess self-discipline? Do you possess self-discipline? Can you go to the all-you-can-eat buffet and get one plate and walk out of there knowing it's a buffet? Can you fix one plate, eat that one plate, and say, I've had my meal, and walk away, or do you go for your money's worth?
But then let me go here, babe.
Go ahead.
After you go for your money's worth, how many of us lay in the bed moaning and groaning?
Man, I shouldn't have ate all of that.
My stomach hurt. Danette, can you go get me some water? My stomach hurt. So look at the misery. Look at the misery that that operating out of control has. You know, and that's a great example because I have been there and I've done it. I have learned my lesson.
Some of us go in the restaurant at 9 in the morning, come out at 1:30 in the evening. We done watched them go from the bacon and the eggs
to the lunch menu.
Now they got the fried chicken and all of that out there. You're like, Doc, I'm going to get me a piece of that chicken before I leave from up in here. I got to have some of that. You paid for breakfast.
Yeah. And you know, we're going to get to it in the message, but let me just drop it before I forget, right, Elder America? That's why disciples have to live a disciplined life of self-control.
Uh-huh.
Because if we leave that restaurant heavy, groggy, come on, hurting, and then we get to just the parking lot and somebody need a ministry of the word. Somebody is hurting and they need healing. They're in need of something that we have. But because we have operated out of control, Margie, we are so far out of control that we can't come back in control to handle the situation at hand.
That's it. That's it.
That's why the man asked Jesus, how come your disciples couldn't clean my child of the evil spirit? How come? And Jesus said, well, to be honest with you, this kind only come out by fasting and praying, and my disciples been in the buffet line. they so fat, full, and miserable, and undisciplined, and lack of self-control that they couldn't heal your child of that deaf, dumb, and mute spirit, because this kind requires the disciple who has a self-control, come on, discipline, and life of order, where I can walk out the restaurant and still be light in my spirit, that I can deal with the spirit in you. Oh, get on back. Get me back, baby. Get me back.
Come on,
get
come me on back. Let me bring you right
because
to where you are.
Because we think it's just the food, and we think it's just the overeating. It affects our body more than just overeating. It bogs our spirit down. And guess what's rise to the surface? Our flesh. What we fed has risen, come on, y'all, to the forefront of our spirit. And our spirit has been suppressed. And it's on the bottom saying, I'm trying to break my way through. But all that food is weighing me down.
Preach, girl, preach.
No, that thing gets to my spirit. It gets to my spirit. I'm like, come on, get control of yourself.
Uh-huh.
So we can be the disciples that, who's that man you said, baby, say, I love your Christ, but I don't understand your Gandhi. Christians because they so much unlike your Christ.
You remember that?
I remember that.
Go ahead, girl. Hey, go back to the notes right here.
How many of us going to do better? Because there's always more to it than what we casually talk about in conversation with our friends. There's a spiritual matter.
The thing about self-control is, most of us don't have the governor of knowing when we're full. Most of us don't have the governance of knowing when we're full. And so we overdo a lot of things. Driving in here, I saw one of Newport News finest sitting right down the street from the church. Why is there police on the street? Huh? Because drivers don't understand self-control. If we understood self-control, there would be no need for the law. You understand? We have law because they understand that most people don't understand self-control. And so when you don't have what you think you ought to have, it puts something in your mind and make you think you're empty. And when you think you're empty, you react and you respond in a whole different way. And you're seeking to be full, but you can never be filled. You can never be filled because you're lacking something in self-motivation and self-control. One of the four M's you dealt with in where you just were is you have to possess control by taking mastery over your mind.
Over your mind.
Look at somebody, over your mind. Your mind deals with your thinking. Yes. If you think you're hungry, you'll keep eating. Your stomach could be almost coming out your pants. You understand? You're still sitting there. You don't stop eating because you still think you're hungry. You unloosen the belt on your pants and make some more room so you can get something else in. The belt is a governor to tell you you've reached your limit. We take the belt loose because we think something wrong with the belt, but it's not the belt. It's your mind.
Wow.
Look at somebody, put your hand and say, it's your mind.
It's our mind.
I think I'm empty, I'll keep eating until my mind says I'm full.
Wow.
And when you deal with that, one of the things you deal with is when you talk about taking mastery over your mind, you have to deal with the place of contentment.
Yes.
You got to deal with a place of contentment. So this mastery of your mind, it deals with contentment. And Elder Gale, you said it when you were ministering this morning. You talked about complacency, but contentment is different than complacency.
Yeah.
Contentment and complacency is two different things. Complacency is wanting to stay in that place that you're in and not wanting to take self-control and make the change.
Right.
I'm complacent with where I am. I'm lackadaisical and I'm lazy with this thing. And so I'll just keep doing what I've always did and believe that you can lay hands on me and your hands is a diet plan. I'll put these cold hands on you all day. But if you don't change your mind, you're going to get up off this hard floor when they pick you up. And you're going to walk your lack of discipline self right out here to Golden Corral. Yep. And you're going to get everything on the buffet and come back next week and say, can you lay hands on me again?
Yep. That's good, baby. Can I jump in?
Go ahead.
And what we have to do is go back to the foundational teachings. Come on. A biblical meditation in the name of Christ. Because Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind, because PC is dealing with the mind. come on, let's go ahead and hit the strategy real quick so we can move on to the teaching. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. But when you keep jumping down the verse, it says, who at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. So anything that is not in line with the Spirit of God, come on, in us, in our mind, we got to go back to biblical meditation. I mean, folk think I'm crazy because I talk to myself. I say you're crazy if you don't. Because guess what? Those voices speaking to you, if you're not responding and putting them in line, come on, you're going to be one of those men or women or teenagers that's operating out of control because the enemy is speaking into your mind. And if you're operating what he speaks, then you're out of control. But when you bring his thoughts, come on, and his instructions and his suggestions, come on, back under the biblical meditation of the name of Jesus, you begin to sit in those golden corrals when they say, keep eating, you want some more, you can be in the name of Jesus. I rebuke this lazy, greedy, come on, overindulgent spirit, and at his name, everything that's telling you to be out of control, oh my God, it lines up and it becomes a way of operating in control. But we, for some reason, get away from that biblical meditation.
Hey, this is how we use Jesus. This is how we use Jesus at the restaurant.
Yeah.
Man, that service was showing up good today.
Yeah, talking about them all the time.
Man, they sang that thing. Break every chain. I'm about to break this chicken.
Come break on. This chicken chain.
we lose that control. When we talk about contentment, though, contentment is a state of mind.
It's a state of
contentment
mind.
Contentment is a state of mind. It's not just a state of being. When
That's
we talk
good.
About not overeating on Thanksgiving, not over shopping on Black Friday, somebody can't wait to 12 o'clock. Somebody got every sales paper they already put out and know what stores to go to, how many items they're going to have on sale, how much time you got to get there after the sales start, and going to stay up all night waiting to go in those places. I speak to that shopping demon right now. I speak to Mammon. I go ahead and talk to Mammon right now, and
baby.
I say, you ain't going
to
take our money this year.
Money.
You ain't going to get us in them cold lines. You ain't going to keep us out there all year. We're going to take authority over you right now. We're going to discipline ourselves. We're going to have self-control in our mind.
Yes,
every
Jesus.
Sale is not for me.
Every
I'm taking authority over myself.
Authority
I speak
now.
To my mind
now.
And say, I'm not going to overindulge. I speak to my mind and say, I'm putting my money up, and I'm going to tell myself no.
Self, no. I hear you, T.
Woo!
No. Come on. And then, babe, we worry how we going. I've been there, y'all. That's why we can speak on so many different levels. We've been married 25 years. And, man, we done seen those paychecks. I remember getting a $350 paycheck for 40 hours a week. And you know, goodness, well, I had no business at the Black Friday sales. I'm trying to pay the bills. We're trying to pay the bills with that. But we do all of that out of lack of control. And then we look and wonder, how am I going to pay the light bill and the rent and the mortgage? And then we start, let me go pray. God's going to make a way. What we do, babe?
Hey, Deke. Y'all got benevolence over there at Living Waters? I'm running through a little hard time right now. And you think the church can, man, that's why I don't come to your church anyway. Y'all don't help nobody.
Y'all don't help nobody.
You want the church to bail you out.
Because of our lack of control. Wow.
Well, didn't nobody say amen
on
that.
I know, right?
Hey, James, man, just hit the drum through the glass for me every once in a while. But look at this thing. When you talk about the mind, the mind is the center of self-control.
Yes, the mind.
If you don't get your mind right, you can't get nothing else that we talk about right.
Yes.
And most of us got some messed up files in our minds.
Yes.
Some of us need to debug
the mind.
The mind. Because we got some files from some old stuff still operational, and we have not shut those files down. And it's those corrupt files in our minds that's got us doing these crazy things that we should have long been over. Put your hand on your mind and say, I have a renewed mind. Put your hand on your mind. You can't get it just by saying it one time. I have a renewed mind. Matter of fact, you can't even do it on your own. Put your hand on your mind and say, Lord, help me.
Lord, help me.
To renew this,
to
mind,
renew
of
this
mine.
Mind of mine.
You got to speak to your mind,
yes,
because
you
when you
to.
Deal with this contentment, your mind keeps telling you old stuff, and it keeps bringing up old revelation,
yes,
old files. You're trying to go a new direction,
yes,
and you keep seeing old things coming after you. That's a corrupt file in your mind, and if you don't deal with this or take mastery, let me go ahead and say this to you. You have the power to take mastery over your thoughts.
Yes.
You got the power to take mastery. Apostle did this so many times in here. We're going to count from 1 to 20, all right? Don't start yet. Mom Banks, you already started. We're going to count from 1 to 20, all right? This is how I know you can do it. We're going to count from 1 to 20 on my count of 3. You see, don't start counting yet, all right? On my count of 3, you're going to count from 1 to 20. 1, 2, 3. Count, hold on. Let me get a new count to yourself.
Okay.
Because we're talking about self-control. On the count of 3, 1, 2, 3. Stop. What number are you on?
4, 7. Elder moving a little slow today, y'all. He on 2. We've been at it for 10 seconds, and he on number 2. That's he going to anoint him with oil, Destiny Cass. He's getting anointed during the service, right in the middle of the message.
What number were you on?
He's not too far behind you.
But here's the point. How did they stop?
Controlled our thoughts.
How did they take control over their counting and say, I'm going to stop because he said stop?
Just did it.
You just turned it off. I told you to turn it on, and then I told you to turn it off, and you were able to stop it right when I said stop and know where you were, even though the command was we were going to go 20 seconds. You got ideas of where you want to be and where you want to go, but there's something in you that keeps saying stop. But some of you didn't stop. You said, he said 20, and I'm going to keep going. And you overrode what I said when I said stop. And you said, I'm going to get all the way to 20. And that's where some of you are in this room. You keep going for broke.
Out of control.
Instead of stopping when the Holy Ghost tell you enough is enough. You
wow.
done said what you needed to say
wow.
in that heated discussion. You ain't got to say this last word, but you still want to hit below the belt when the bell
Keep
rings
going.
In boxing
Keep
and
going.
You still hit the other fighter. That's a disqualification.
Woo.
Some of you have disqualified your anointing
wow.
by going past the bell
wow.
of the Holy Ghost. He's rang in your life and said, get out of it.
Wow.
Stop. Throw in the towel. You ain't doing that no
wow.
more. The fight is over. Get out of it. Ain't done yet. Your mama. You act just like your dirty daddy. He was a dog and you a dog.
And the Holy Ghost said
the Holy Ghost told you to stop
ago.
5 minutes ago.
So we've disqualified ourselves from the game because of our lack of control. Somebody said, Father, forgive me.
The only way you deal with flawed thinking is you have to do something unnatural. In the middle of that messed up moment, you got to jump up and give God a praise like you lost your
yes.
mind. You got to give God a praise like you done lost
yes,
your ever-loving
yes,
mind
yes,
because we
yes,
supposed
yes.
to be fighting,
yes.
but now you done flipped the switch and turned praise on up in here. How are you going to go from cursing me out to speaking in tongues because in the same body there are blessings and curses?
Yes.
And so now for 30 seconds, somebody done lost control this morning. I need you to just jump up and flip the script and just give God a praise like you done lost your emotional mind. Give God a praise like you done lost your ever-loving, everlasting mind. Give God a praise that he didn't consume you in that messed up mind you got. Praise will renew your thinking. Praise will change your mind and make you apologize on something you know you were wrong with. You know what? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have never said that about you. I got outside of myself and my spirit was off, but now I got the spirit renewed in me and God done touched me again and I speak life back into you. You're not a dog. You're a man and you're a God-sent man. You're a man in the likeness and image of God, and my assignment is to praise you. She's not a bitch. She ain't no female dog. Yep. Your mama ain't no bitch. Your wife ain't no bitch. So stop using that language.
Yes. Come on. We're going to deal with that mouth. We're going to deal with that mouth.
Self-control over your mouth.
We're going to deal with that
Self-control
mouth.
Over your mind. You want to act holy, but speak unholy.
Yeah, we're going to deal. We're going to jump right to the mouth on that,
go
y'all.
To the mouth. Go to the mouth.
Because he rolling, Elder Tina.
Because I done said something out my mouth. You ain't supposed to say in church. But that's where the hypocrites lie.
That's it. Mastery.
They use the word. But when they come into church, they want to clap their hands.
Yeah.
Say what you say when you out there in here.
Come on.
What he can change your mind.
Come on. Yeah, mastery over the mouth. Y'all sit down. Y'all sit down. Mastery over the mouth, baby. If you don't know, now you know, huh? Wow. Don't be scared. Mastery over the mouth.
It's crazy.
Come on. So self-control deals with our power, ability to use restraint to govern ourselves. And so, yes, the government gives us rights. Yes, they do. They give us rights. Come on. The government gives us rights, you know. But self-control involves the controlled use of our freedom and our rights. Just because we're 21 and now we're legal age and can drink, yes, we are. Come on. That's the government. That's the law. That's our right. Self-control doesn't put us at the liquor store, come on, in line waiting to get our drink because I'm 21 and legally I am able to do this. Self-control says that if I do this and I overindulge in this, it's going to hurt and harm and endanger me and those around me if I'm out of control with it. And so self-control, come on, puts that restraint on ourselves. We govern ourselves. We don't rely on the government to give us our freedoms. So just because we have the freedom of speech, yes, we do. It's one of the First Amendments. Yes, the freedom of speech.
Just because we got a mouth, we don't have to put everything in it.
Yeah, we ain't got to put everything in it. And with the freedom of speech, we don't have to say everything we thinking. And then we turn around and use the freedom of speech, the government's law, as I can say what I want to say. I got the freedom of speech. So I can cuss you out at like a sailor. I can belittle
like
and degrade. Like I can belittle and degrade. Come on. I can speak derogatory words concerning you because the government
don't
gives me the freedom of speech. PC cutting up, y'all. He cut.
Go ahead, girl. Go ahead.
Come on. What he said? Yeah, you got the freedom of speech, but you don't say everything that you're thinking, especially if you're going to be hurling insults and derogatory remarks that's going to bring another down. Self-control says, I'm thinking it, but I don't have to say it. Uh-huh. But there's a scripture, because I know y'all think, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Well, if this mind in you is supposed to be in line with the mind of Christ, go to Titus 2:11.
Mouth ought to be the same way, huh?
Yep, here's the mouth right here. It's plain and simple. It says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. That's what Christ came to give us, right? Look at what verse 12 says. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion and to live a self-control, I like that, upright and godly life in this present age, which we know is wicked and ungodly. We know everything around us is supposed to entice us because they want our money. Come on. If we give the world our money, the kingdom will never be in the area of fulfillment because all of what we give to the world because of our worldly lust and passions. Oh, that look good. Oh, I want that. And we just keep buying and buying. So it says, No to ungodliness and worldly passions, so that we can live a self-controlled, upright, and godly life in this present age. Amen. Amen. Amen.
You look at that, living that upright and godly life. It's what you talked about earlier. It's living a fasted life. Fasting is not just what we do the first 21 days of January, or what we do from the 10 days of all. Fasting is a lifestyle.
Yes, it is.
And there are some things that we ought to be fasting and that we ought to be fast over.
Yes.
We ought to be fast over some things. I don't buy wine anymore because I'm over drinking. But I don't condemn the person that's still drinking. Mm-hmm. I'm just over it.
Yes, yes.
So the person that's still drinking don't have to see me in the store and say, I use this for cooking.
Because now you're lying. And God know you're not going to cook with that. You're going to fill it to the brim and have a good time.
So now out of your mouth, you're going to put in one thing and you just put out something, a lie.
A lie.
You bring a lie out of your mouth. You might put a little bit in there to make it seem right. This for my homies.
And this for me.
Little bit in, little bit out. What am I saying? Living a fasted life. When you get over these things, you don't have to condemn other people that's still in them.
Yes.
You have to love other
yes.
people because somebody loved you
yes.
enough to wait for you to come out of what you were in.
Yes.
Self-control, dealing with the mouth, don't mean you prophesying to everybody about what they're doing. You ain't the police of the church. You ain't been given no badge of honor, and you the sheriff of Living Waters, and now you want to see what everybody else doing. You know, I saw so-and-so-and-so over at the ABC store.
Well, you went 7-Eleven buying a lottery ticket. I mean, let he who is without sin cast the first stone.
You
the NPC was on that road this morning. People
we're
calling
not giving,
and complaining.
We're not giving a license to sin. You see, we're not giving a license to sin, but we're saying if you're free, be free.
Mm-hmm.
Don't condemn yourself, and then there won't be any condemnation.
Right.
If you're grown, be grown.
Right.
We're talking about spiritual maturity growing up. And so what causes another person harm may not cause you harm, but here's the principle of being mature. Just don't do it with that person. Don't do it with that person. If you come out to eat with me and I don't drink, then don't order nothing to drink. Go ahead and drink tea or water. When I leave, you'll be like, man, I'm glad he gone. I got to go and get this right. This tea messing with my bladder. You understand? That's Romans. I'm in Romans all day with you right there. You don't condemn or convict the other person because drinking may not be sin to them. Drinking is not the sin. Getting drunk is.
Yep.
Eating is not the sin. Being a glutton is.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
We talk about this self-control over your mouth. You understand when we get the mind right, then we can go to the mouth and we deal with living this fasted life.
Yeah.
You put these scriptures, I'm looking at this thing when you talk about your mouth. It's the passport, a legal entryway to possessing the promises of God for your destiny.
Yeah.
Your mouth is your passport. Your mouth is what gives you legal access and entry to the things of God or to the things of the world.
That's right.
Most of the things that people know about you, they come out of your mouth. But this is the thing about your mouth. Your mouth and self-control works like this. You say what you want to say to the people with whom you're the most comfortable. You want to know why you can curse at your spouse or act a fool with them? Because complacency says they're not going to leave you. And complacency says they're going to be there long enough for you to get it right. And so now you can say what you want, act like you want, and do what you want out of your mouth. But on your job, if you come left.
Yeah. You get fired.
So on your job, you suck it up and sit down and hold it until you go home. And then you want to let everything out.
Yep.
So in the house, you got muscle. But on the job, you
exhibit self-control.
You ain't demonstrating the same level of That's control. Good. And so now you can hold your mouth because you know what arenas you can say and what arenas you can't say something.
That's
and so
good.
So people tend to be the rudest with the people that they know.
That they're the most closest to.
They tend to be more caring with the people they don't know because they don't know what the response is going to be. And so your mind has a governor and your mouth has a governor. Look at this thing dealing with the mouth. Proverbs 18:21.
That's how you can track your maturity. That's how you track your maturity. In the arenas that we have operated out of control, at what point can we say, I can go into that area of temptation and I can now operate with self-control?
You own it.
My spouse can now say something. And I told y'all when me and PC started walking that trail and he told you an hour and a half of uninterruptible time, no cell phone, no text messaging, no computer. We argued the whole hour and a half on the trail because we weren't used to talking to each other. We were out of control. We recognized it. We came and we confessed it to the congregation. We out of control,
y'all.
Left me
one day, TJ.
We complained the whole talking and fussing the whole way. But now I got to a place, Margie, where I could walk the trail and he would say something. And I knew he was saying it because, you know, the angels are coming for your words, you know. And I would just sit there and in my mind I would say, man, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. But I stopped it at the thought and it didn't come out of my mouth as a word. And I was able to hear him and let him filter and process on the trail without me having to respond to everything, even though I thought it was crazy. You know, ridiculous, you know what I'm saying? I learned how to control myself, and we walk and not argue anymore because I control myself, whereas a week ago that time, I'd be like, baby, that is the craziest, dumbest thing I ever heard. And he'd be, well, what's so dumb about it? Because how would you see A, B, and C equaling D, you know? But with that self-control, it gives him the chance on that same trail to say the same thing, and it be an enjoyable, pleasurable walk. Because I exhibited self-control. You got to monitor your spiritual maturity and your growth in certain arenas of your life.
Let's say this. you're right, because all conversation or all communication is not for a response.
Absolutely.
You don't have to answer everything that's being said in your presence.
You gotta control.
That's the point of self-control.
Yes.
Sometimes the person is just talking out loud to themselves and processing or filtering a thought, and it could be a bad thought to them, and they don't need confirmation. They just need to get it out and put it in the atmosphere. When John Hoses Thursday night was talking about them sorry Bucks. He didn't need confirmation that they were sorry. He knew that. He just needed us to sit down and listen
and
to
listen.
It. You know what I'm saying? But back to the spirit.
I know.
When I was in the Navy, listen to this, Pastor Vicky. When I was in the Navy, and she talked about cursing like a sailor. Man, I was a real sailor. I had a coffee cup and profanity. And I was making rank. Because I think if I had these two things, I could get promoted. And I, every other word, the more profanity you use, the more you knew. I didn't know anything really about engineering, but I could curse at that pump. They sound crazy, but that's what I knew how to do. And playing cards, we would sit there in the berthing compartment, and we're playing spades or pinochle or whatever, and I'm sitting there, and I'm cursing and in the conversations, but I would walk from the guys, listen to this closely, and I would walk from right out here to literally right behind the screen, and the beds for berthing is right behind the screens, and I would lay on that bed, and immediately the Holy Ghost would start talking to me. And he never said, I shouldn't have said what I did. He asked me questions. Why did you use that word? Why did you say it like that? Wouldn't it have meant the same thing, or wouldn't it have been just as funny if you would have said it like this? The Holy Ghost was rearranging my mind and teaching me mastery over my mouth right there in that place, and I hadn't even fully gave God my life yet. He would speak to me, and I can say to you on this day, I know I said the B word earlier, but that's in your Bible. I know I said that earlier, but I have not used profanity in the sense that I used before from the day on that ship to when I walked off. And here's the deal. I can't tell you what day I stopped cursing. I can just tell you I did. Mm-hmm. Why? Because the Holy Ghost began to talk to my mind filter some things through my spirit and change what was coming out of my mouth.
Yes.
He didn't do it by beating me. He didn't do it by forcing me. He did it by communicating with me and loving me. Look at this thing. We give you these scriptures, and then we pick up the other two after Thanksgiving.
All right.
Because we'll see. How did you master some of these things?
Yeah. Maybe we can do an open forum. Hallelujah. How'd you do, Elder Rashida?
see, our mouth is a dangerous weapon. And we've hurt so many more people with our mouth than we have with our fists.
Yes.
And that's why the Bible talks about having to guard our speech. Wow. You know the scripture in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Yes, that's it. That's the
And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Look at that. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Mm-hmm. Whatever you're spitting out is normally what you're eating. It's normally what you're taking in.
Yep. And I'll do
this. Look at this. Go ahead.
Proverbs 13:3, it says, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. But he that openeth wide his lips, somebody say that's the big mouth, shall have destruction. Shall have destruction is in the word.
Get this one, Job 22:28. We're not just talking about what you take in the natural, but your mouth is the gateway to your spirit. It's the gateway to things lining up in your spirit. Job 22:28. Look, I can prophesy in here all day. I can call the prophets in this house to prophesy. I can call them all up here and they can prophesy all day. I can call Elder Gale and Waverly and they can sing prophetically to this house, but that does nothing for you. It brings you into an arena where your spirit can catch it, but if you don't open your mouth and let it go out your mouth, all you were was a participant in the arena, but you don't get none of the benefits. Look at this, Job 22:28. He says, thou shalt also decree a thing. Let's take that thou out and bring it to English. You shall also decree a thing.
Yes.
And it shall be established unto you, and the light shall shine upon your ways. If you don't say nothing, don't look for nothing.
Yes, yes.
Bottom line, if you ain't singing nothing, don't look to be refreshed by the song. If you ain't prophesying, and listen to that bad English I'm using, ain't, because that's the way I talk at home. If you, that's the way you talk at home too. So don't look at me like you're crazy. you use ain't too.
Sure do.
But then you want to hold me. Ain't he a pastor? Look at what you say at first.
Ain't he a pastor? Sure is.
But look at this. What are you saying out of your mouth? Mm-hmm. What are you declaring? What messed up files do you have in your mind that won't let your mouth work? What corrupt files have put your mouth on mute? What's going on in your head that won't let your mouth declare what's in your heart? What is it that you need to turn off so you can turn on the right thing? The control is in you.
Yes.
The self-control, the self-governance is in you, the self-power. What is it that you need to put in operation in your life and you've been waiting on another man? You've been waiting on somebody else to come. Man, I wish God would just show me to Pastor Charlie. I see you.
Wow. Hey, babe, that was good because you said we're waiting on another man. And this is where we have to tap into the supernatural and stop waiting on the man to come and deliver our words, but the angel. The angel is on assignment, and it's in the word. We're going to look at Daniel 10.
Daniel 10, 12.
Go there. The man is not going to deliver your words, but there's an angel assigned to you to deliver. Listen to me. Daniel was not responsible for delivering his words. He was just responsible for releasing them.
Right.
You got to write that down.
Right.
Because the angel of the Lord told Daniel when Daniel thought he had forgot about him. Angel said, no, Daniel, I heard you the first day that you released your words, and I was en route to your words. He says, but I got caught up by the prince of Persia. Come on, the enemy held me up and delayed me from getting to your words, but now that I have them, Daniel, had Daniel not released them, the angel would not have been able to come and receive them and deliver the words that needed to be delivered that he had decreed into the atmosphere. Sometimes our angels are just sitting around waiting for us to say something. What are you believing God for? Open those floodgates. Angels, go get my financial breakthrough. Go get my husband. Go get my saved and sanctified wife. Go and deliver my children into the hands of obedience and focus and excitement for the word of God. Come on. We got to release our angels. And because even when the angel came and received Daniel's words and was going back with them, watch this. Daniel didn't even have to fight for the words he released because the angel said, I fought the prince of Persia coming for your word. Keep reading. It says, and on my way to deliver your word, I'm going to fight the prince of Greece. There were two demonic forces that the angel, not Daniel, Daniel was responsible for releasing the word. The angel was responsible for delivering the word and fighting, come on, the strongholds and breaking the barriers to bring manifestation for the word and the decree that Daniel released.
Wow.
Some of us just need to start decreeing again and to believe that the angels are going to deliver that word and they're going to fight for us. We don't have to fight after we say a thing. We just got to decree it and release it out there and let the angels come and do all the fighting and all the delivering of that word.
We say this in closing. Your answer is in your mouth. Your answer is in your mouth. James 3, 2 through 5 is the closing scripture.
Amen.
See, when we talk about authority over your mouth, we're literally talking about your ability to demonstrate self-mastery or self-power in what you say. James 3, 2 through 5 in the Message translation, it says, a bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse.
Mm-hmm. Small bit.
A small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets a course in the face of the strongest winds. But verse 5 says, a word out of your mouth may seem of no account.
Mm.
But it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. It can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. What is it that's in your mouth? What is it that you want to come out of your mouth? What is it that you need to say?
Yes.
What is it that you have lost sight of in your mind that you need to resurrect so that you can open your mouth and say the right thing again so you can correct your sight?
Yes.
What is it that you need to say to God before you say anything to him? You see, we walked in here in worship and we had to get right because the temperature was off.
Yes.
Move the podium because you don't ask him anything before you give him praise.
Yes.
You don't ask him anything. You've heard the word now, and it's in your mind, and it's in your mouth, and there's declarations that's on your heart. But some of you will still sit there and say, that's foolishness. I ain't got nothing to say, and that's why you stay right where you are. You see, it's not my assignment to convince you or force you to do the foolish thing because that's what confounds the wise. Some of you have been so frustrated and saying, I've already said something and I don't see nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a season of your life where God, he puts that word on pause. He pauses that word and what is what we're going to deal with next week, and he calls it time. He pauses that word. It's like the seed that I planted in my backyard I told you about. The seed was in the ground, but I didn't see nothing. They were there, but they were on pause. Those seed didn't spring up. They didn't produce anything because there's a place in God where he says, I'm going to preserve this one until the right time. You've already said it, but I'm not going to release it. I'm not going to let it sprout up until the right time. What you want to see now was not for today, but it's for your tomorrow. But you are part of an instant gratification age. And so I have to reserve your words. So that they don't produce, amen, they don't produce a harvest that's not full.
That's not ready.
So now I have some of your words, and Elder Ashley talked about words being in a container or words being in jars, and the angels have carried them to God, and they're sitting on a shelf in heaven, and God comes back and look at your file, and he takes one of the jars off, and he takes the lid off of it, and the word that you spoke in 1978, it comes out, and you say, man, this is what I said way back then, and I see it now.
Yes.
I see the manifestation now. Your words are contained in the annals of heaven.
Yes.
And then you got to keep now believing those words, yes. praying those words, confessing those words, yes. rehearsing those words. But many of us have given up on the words that we already said. She says she ain't gonna come back. She gone. She gonna leave me. It's over. And so you say, well, fine, let her go. Stand on your feet. There's a praise that's in your mouth. Move this thing. There's a praise that's in your mouth. And it's on you when you release it. There's a praise that's in your mouth. And it's on you when you release it. It's on you.
Hallelujah.
It's on you when you release it. They're going to minister in song, but there's a praise that's in your mouth. How is it that it won't come out right now? How is it that it won't release itself right now? How is it that you can hear that word, but your mouth goes, this is the hardest time that it will be because I've taught this thing and we've taught it, and now it's time to implement it, and your mind will say, you ain't got nothing to say, and you ain't got no thoughts in your head right now. Ain't nothing in your mouth that's ready to come out, and so you can't get anything out of your mouth, and if it does come out, is that such a whisper that you don't even believe it?
Yes, the area of improvement.
But I want you to begin to open your mouth from this side of the room to the other side of the room. And I want you to begin to declare a thing. I want you to begin to open your mouth and declare a thing on Destiny Cast. I want you to begin to say